It's a big world.
Oh, wow! It's so bright.
And it's full of small businesses.
Isn't getting discounts great?
Yes!
Yeah, I got carried away.
Risk, reward, opportunity, responsibility. Small business drives our economy. And finally, there's a show talking about it. Think you can be your own boss? Stick around. You'll find out.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Here's Austin Hill.
This is the place where small business owners and independent workers come to talk every weekend. I am Austin Hill. Welcome to our world. It's the big world of small business, and I'm Austin Hill. Take down our number and join us, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We're open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership and being an independent worker, thoughts on entrepreneurship and finding work, even if you can't, quote-unquote, get a job. We look at all of these issues, making a living, job creation, the economy, and we see them through the lenses of our Christian faith. 877-933-2484, that's our number if you want to join us. Coming up later in this hour, some thoughts on part-time work. As a matter of fact, with each and every episode, I always like to pose a question to you, the listener. And my question is simply this: why are there more part-time jobs being created than there are full-time jobs right now? We have a very interesting set of circumstances, and I will tell you that over the last few weeks, I've had people, listeners to this program, personal friends, business associates coming to me saying, there's this guy, and he's got this book out, and you need to interview the author of this book, because this guy and his book, it's all about the stuff that you've been talking about for all these years on the big world of small business. Well, there is a book out on this issue of the part-time economy, as some people are calling it. I'm going to tell you about this guest. We'll probably hear from him coming up next weekend on this version of our Big World of Small Business program. But let's just take a step back for a moment and to talk about this. Why so many part-time jobs and so few full-time jobs? Why do you surmise that that is our reality right now? And what do you think we ought to do about that? How can we change that? That may seem insurmountable. That may seem like, oh, gosh, I don't own a business, and I don't control all the hiring policies and whatnot. But we do, as citizens of a free country and as citizens of a free society, we have the opportunity to have some influence anyway. We can have our say over how the rules are made, how the rules are constructed, how things go. So we can change this if we wish to. But before we talk about change, let's talk about why it is that there's so many part-time jobs and so few full-time jobs. Why do you think that is? You tell me your thoughts, and I'm here for your questions and comments as well. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll get to your calls coming up in just a few moments. Later this hour, as I started to say, we will talk about freelance work, the part-time freelance economy, and the independent contract working phenomena. We'll review that and talk about some online resources that I believe we need to be talking about within our churches. We need to be sharing with one to another about ways in which we can just get some money coming in, even if it's just a little tiny bit, even just on a very, very freelance sort of basis. We need to have this conversation about freelancing and independent contracting in our churches. We'll get to that. Also, some thoughts on what happens when a business owner is being forced into doing things that they think are immoral. This, I believe, is something that is worthy of our attention in the church. We'll get to that in just a moment. 877-933-2484 is our number. We'll get to your calls coming up in just a few as well. Now, on the business owners being forced to do something that is against their moral beliefs, their Christian beliefs, something that they believe is immoral, I want to tell you about this story, an amazing situation, involving a lady who lives in a little tiny town called Richland, Washington. Richland, Washington. You may have heard this story. It's a lady named Baronelle Stutzman. Baronelle Stutzman is a resident of this little town of Richland, Washington, as I told you, and she also owns and operates a flower shop. Now, this is a lady who is a mom, and she's a grandmother. And she's 70 years old, still going strong, owning and operating her own small business. And she has run afoul of state law in her state of Washington. The state attorney general has come down on her very, very aggressively, and I think is probably the elected state attorney general in Washington is trying to make an example of Baronelle Stutzman. Now, what do you suppose his 70-year-old grandmother did that is so heinous and so terrible? Well, Baronelle Stutzman, she is a Baptist. She's a member of the Baptist Church. And she believes that marriage, this is very controversial in our society, and I'm not being flippant or sarcastic about this. This is real. It is very controversial in our society today, just about everywhere in the United States of America. Baronelle believes that a marriage ought to be defined by one male man and one female woman living in a bond together. She believes in traditional historic marriage. She believes in the definition of marriage that's existed for, you know, the bigger part of 5,000 years of civilization. And there was a gentleman who was a client of her flower shop for many years, we are told, and he is a gay man. And he bought flowers from Baronelle Stutzman's flower shop over the years. And one day she came in and, the gentleman came in and said to Baronelle, I'm going to get married to my male significant other, my male partner, and I'd like for you to provide flowers at my wedding. And Baronelle, we are told, put a hand on the gentleman's shoulder and said, listen, I love you. I appreciate the fact that you're my client, but I can't do this. I don't agree with your definition of marriage. I'm going to respectfully choose not to cater your wedding and not to do the flowers on for your wedding. Well, this male client of hers at her little flower shop there in Richland, Washington, he started posting on the internet all kinds of things about Baronelle and her flower shop and asked people to boycott the flower shop and whatnot, which can be very damaging in and of itself. We know what boycotts are about, right? And so I am told the state attorney general of Washington happened to read this on Facebook, and he took up the case and began an investigation. This elected official in the state of Washington just saw this posted on Facebook, I am told, and said, we better investigate. He began an investigation, determined that what was being said, that Ms. Stutzman, the 70-year-old grandmother from Richland, Washington, was refusing to provide flowers to a gay wedding, and so he filed a lawsuit and brought her to court. And she may very well be on her way to not only having her business undone, she may lose all her life savings in the process here. And so the question becomes, well, how do we prevent this from happening? And what are we to make of this? And what's the appropriate way to think about this? And Aaron, if we could have the audio interview excerpt with attorney Alex Kincaid ready to go here. I'm going to play this here in just a few moments. I have heard all kinds of things about this, all kinds of reactions to Baronelle Stutzman and her situation. I've had lots of, I believe, very thoughtful and well-intended Christians look at this and say, hey, come on, just move on. The law is what it is, and we don't have to necessarily agree to somebody else's definition of marriage. Just provide flowers to the wedding and get it over with and move on. And truthfully, to be very candid and honest, if I was in this situation, I might view it the same way. I understand that mindset completely. And there are a lot of Christians, evangelical Christians, because as evangelicals, evangelism is profoundly important to us by nature, right? There are a lot of evangelicals who are saying, listen, be gracious, reflect Christ's grace and love to this man, and just provide the flowers. Here's the dilemma, though. As evangelical Christians, I do believe we're doing ourselves and our fellow Christians, our society, and the church all a disservice if we ignore the very basic ingredients of freedom that is part and parcel to our society. What's being undermined here is what we call, this is kind of an economic term, a philosophical term, and I believe it's something that applies to our understanding of the scriptures as well. What's being undermined here is what we call the right to private property. The right to private property is far-reaching. It is, I believe, essential. I think it's at the epicenter of the functioning of the church. I think it's explicit and implicit in both the Old and New Testament. The right to private property simply means that if you own a business or a car or a house or any of a number of other things, you ought to be free to do with it what you will within some very broad parameters and to not do with it what you won't within some very broad parameters. My point here is that, yes, the evangelism that may take place if Ms. Stutzman were to provide flowers to a gay wedding, that's real. But so also is the fact that her liberty and everybody else's liberty in the state of Washington, and I would say all over the country, our liberties with the right to private property, our ability to do what we will with our business, something we have earned, something we have purchased, our home, our material resources, the right to our private property is being compromised. And if we ignore that, if we just run roughshod over it and say, okay, fine, take away my rights on this one, it won't happen again. It will continue to happen over and over and over again until we rise up and with one collective voice say, enough. Now, I had the occasion to talk earlier this week with a lady. Her name is Alex Kincaid. She is a former prosecutor from the Pacific Northwestern U.S., where Bernil Stutzman's situation is unfolding. Alex Kincaid is now an attorney in private practice, and she advises churches and parachurch ministries and small businesses on how to handle these kinds of situations. And she says they really start with being prepared and anticipating these kinds of dilemmas. I'll tell you more about some of the advice she offers in just a moment, but here's kind of how my conversation started with attorney Alex Kincaid earlier this week.
Hi, Austin. Thanks for having me.
Good to be with you. You've watched this unfold. You're pretty close to Ms. Stutzman and the situation with her flower shop, Arlene's Flower Shop, there in Richland, Washington, I believe is the town. What has been your impression as you've watched these details unfold?
Well, you know, one thing is clear, and that is that this movement is strong. People are organized. They're going forward. And we in the Christian community need to be aware of that and plan for it in our businesses. So, you know, this is an event where someone's faith is being challenged in terms of being able to act on it. In fact, that's what the Superior Court judge said. Our religious beliefs are protected, but not necessarily our actions based on those beliefs. And this is extremely concerning for us in the Christian community.
That is exactly how other people have analyzed this. They're saying, well, okay, this judge in the state of Washington has affirmed that one can believe as they will, but don't act as you will according to those beliefs. Some beliefs are just socially unacceptable, I guess. Is that a correct interpretation, would you say?
I would say it is, which flies in the face of our First Amendment, you know, our very first item in the Bill of Rights. This is why America became America in the first place, so that we could have free exercise of our religious belief. And I emphasize that free exercise portion, which includes taking action, not just having the belief.
Isn't that interesting? Your free exercise of your faith includes taking action, not just simply possessing a belief in your heart and your mind and so forth. That's attorney Alex Kincaid, a former prosecutor, who today advises churches, nonprofit, parachurch ministries, and small business owners as well. In a nutshell, here's kind of where my conversation with her led. She says, first and foremost, business owners and those who are in leadership in churches alike, you got to know what the laws are in your city, county, and state. She says, yeah, you know, if you're paying no attention, you don't like politics, you don't care who's on the city council or who's in the state legislature or at the attorney general's office or what have you, you ignore these things at your own peril. Know the laws. And how do you know the laws? Well, you probably get a good attorney to advise you. She says, get legal counsel, have that attorney advise you on what the laws are, and then create a plan. Anticipate that somebody's going to challenge you on your beliefs, whether it's, you know, I don't want to provide flowers or cater a gay wedding, or it may have nothing to do at all with same-sex marriage. But anticipate people are going to push you and prod you into trying to do something or avoid doing something that you disagree with. Have an attorney, have legal counsel, and have a plan in place on how to deal with that. And then she says, know who your spokesperson is. And I've seen this happen over and over again. Alex Kincaid first confers with me that she's seen it happen as an attorney as well. You know, somebody will show up at a church or maybe at a business, and maybe they're a reporter with a news agency, maybe they're just a blogger, maybe they're just somebody with a mobile phone camera or a video camera, and they walk in and ask a question, and the wrong person speaks up and says, well, we don't have a policy on that, or I don't know what you're talking about, or this is crazy, or get out of here. whoever is not designated as the spokesperson gets asked something about the policy of the business or the organization. And the next thing you know, that's evidence. That moment is recorded and it's all over the internet, and it becomes very, very damaging to that organization. Know who the spokesperson is. Plan for these kinds of surprise visits from people who perhaps don't have your business or your ministry's best interest at heart, and know how to handle it when these situations arise. We'll get the info from attorney Alex Kincaid, her suggestions, on our program website at austinsbigworld.com. But this is to be taken seriously, regardless of what you think about the definition of marriage, regardless of whether you want to sit on the sidelines and look at the 70-year-old lady and say, come on, just deliver the flowers. Just do the flowers. Move on. And I understand the tendency to do that. Please, I prayerfully ask you, consider the right to private property. It is central and essential. It has always been regarded as something sacrosanct in Western civilization and has been compromised all over the place. If you turn a blind eye to the 70-year-old lady's flower shop in the state of Washington, next thing you know, your right to private property or mine will be compromised. Somebody will step up and say, hey, you have to do this with your house or with your farm, or you cannot do that with your car, whatever it is. Please take it seriously. Here's our number. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Later this hour, some thoughts on how churches can get engaged in helping people find part-time and freelance work. My question for you, and we'll go to the phones coming up here in just a moment, why so many part-time jobs and so few full-time jobs? How would you answer that question? It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Back in moments. Don't go anywhere.
This is the place where entrepreneurial minds meet. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. This is the show for business owners of today and tomorrow. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Hey, great to have you with us. Thank you for listening. And join us, if you will. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Why so many part-time jobs and so few full-time jobs? Which is really what we need in our economy, right? 877-933-2484. Javier is up next. Javier, welcome to the program, sir. Hello.
Hi there, Austin. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to the show. Glad you called. What do you think? Why so few full-time jobs, so many part-time jobs?
Well, I think it's more a story of, you know, what is our economy producing and is our economy actually recovering? Statistically, you can look at an unemployment rate that's really low, and you can spin that story to say, hey, you know, our economy is doing really well. But if you actually look at some other statistics, such as the labor participation rate, that's actually the lowest it's been since about the 1970s. So if our economy isn't actually recovering, as we're being told it is, then we're not going to be producing the kinds of jobs that working people today need.
Sure. And you're absolutely right about that. That's a statistic. By the way, you must be searching online for that data, or maybe you listen to this program. I talk about the labor force participation rate frequently, but I would just wonder, I mean, do other people in your social circles, in your midst, are they looking at the labor force participation rate? I mean, you've got to dig to find that, don't you?
I actually haven't really had to dig. I mean, I just read a couple major news sources. I read a couple blogs.
Mm-hmm.
But my job right now is actually one of those part-time jobs that our economy is producing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say the people I work with are necessarily as informed as you are, Austin.
Yeah, well, but they're feeling the effects of it nonetheless. And it sounds like you are feeling the effects of sort of the part-time economy as well.
Definitely, definitely. It's very hard to support just even, you know, a single man's lifestyle on a part-time job. Everyone that I work with at my work, they are trying to support families on just about 25 hours a week.
Yep, I get it. That's tough stuff. What do you hope will get the economy growing again and small businesses producing more jobs and those kinds of things? What do you anticipate? What do you hope for?
I guess it's a vague way to say it, but I would hope for less government regulation.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have going on is a specific example here. The company Uber, famous for its ride-sharing app,
mm-hmm.
is actually making inner-city travel very convenient. They were actually recently forced out of Portland, Oregon, because some very outdated non-competition taxi laws kept them from operating here legally. So as long as our local governments have regulations that prevent innovation, then we aren't really going to see much growth or much interest from entrepreneurs in our areas.
Well, Javier, I appreciate the call, sir. Thanks very much. I tend to agree with that. 877-933-2484. More of your calls on the way. Why so many part-time jobs, so few full-time jobs? And how can we change that? And what is the role of the church in this? I've got my thoughts. We'll get to more of yours coming up. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
We're on the road to economic recovery, and we're headed towards your future. Now back to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Great to have you with us. I am Austin Hill, here every weekend at this same time on this great radio station. You can always find our archive program audio on our network carrier website. That would be myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, where we talk about job creation and business ownership and entrepreneurship and the economy, and we see these issues through the lenses of our Christian faith. Why so many part-time jobs and so few full-time jobs, and how can the church respond more effectively to this? I'll tell you what my three steps are to responding more effectively to this. I'll tell you what those are coming up in just moments. 877-933-2484. Jenny is up next in St. Paul, Minnesota, listening to us on Faith Radio 90.7 FM. Jenny, welcome.
Well, thank you. I think that there are two causes for involuntary part-time work these days. One is some fallout from the Great Recession. I think the other is Obamacare and the rules and restrictions placed on employers. I do think, however, that the response from us needs to be a change in the way we think. There's a disconnect between who an employer is and who an employee is.
Mm-hmm.
Employers may have more money than you, but they don't have unlimited money to pay out for everything. They absolutely have to make a profit, or nobody has a job. I mean, you won't have a job, and neither will they. And I think we tend to think of employers as having unlimited money and that they should provide everything for everybody. Well, they've gone to part-time work because they can't afford. When the Great Recession was in, they were losing money. When Obamacare restrictions and tax liabilities came in, then they have to pay out more of the money that they take in. So, you know, employers aren't unlimited, and we need to understand what the duty of an employer is and how he operates and what our duty as an employee is. I also think that we can aspire and work a little harder to get full-time jobs, and one of them is the way that you describe to it, and that's have your own business. While
mm-hmm.
you're working part-time, maybe start something on your own that ends up being full-time work, or get your foot in the door with the intent of building a resume and never stop looking and making connections.
I think all of those are very valid ideas, and Jenny, I appreciate the call very much. Look, we have a say in these things. We are not just innocent victims or silent bystanders, or we don't have to be silent bystanders in how our culture, how our country, how our community structures the rules and the laws and such. And she has a very valid point when she says business owners may have more money than you or me, but the resources are not unlimited and endless. And truthfully, the resources of government are not unlimited and endless either. No church has endless or unlimited monetary resources. I know oftentimes we speak in terms of spiritual resources, if you will, and God's provision, God's blessing. And that we know is endless. That we know is bountiful. But these things about monetary resources and physical material resources, we live in a physical material world. And there's nothing spiritually virtuous about ignoring that fact and pretending that we don't all need food. We all do. We all need shelter. We all need money to live on. And if you are simply inclined to say, well, I just care about the ministry of the church and the functionings of the church and evangelism and such, chances are your church doesn't get along very well without some kind of monetary resources. And I think in the church we can start by having a greater level of awareness, a greater level of respect for the people who create wealth in our culture. Somebody's got to write the check and put it in the offering plate. And we can't all be merely consumers. We are all consumers. If you're living and breathing, you're a consumer. We have to produce. We have to have wealth producers. We have to have production in our culture and our economy. And lessons on those kinds of profound truths are found in the Old Testament. They're there in the New Testament. I'll have some more thoughts on that coming up in just a few moments. What do we do about the abundance of part-time jobs, the lack of full-time jobs, and how can we respond to that more effectively in the church? Robert is up next. Robert, welcome to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Hello.
Well, you know, I've got some thoughts on it, and I think one of the problems is that with more and more government regulation, there are going to be more and more creative ways to skirt those requirements that they're putting on small business, and small business is going to cut full-time jobs. Heck, a large business may cut full-time jobs in order to avoid, you know, paying health care benefits or paying certain benefits to people that they would otherwise have to in a full-time capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, and it's a manipulated market that causes this thing. A free market, if you keep your hands off free market and whatever the market will bear and businesses are allowed to do what they're going to do, hey, if they can do a full-time position or a part-time position and leave it up to them to pay what they're going to pay, that competition creates good situations for the person that wants to work full-time or the person that wants to work part-time without the manipulation of big government sticking their nose into the business to mess things up. That's kind of my take on it.
How can the church step up and help with this?
Well, I think you just said it. The church needs to step up. You know, you do not check your brain at the door when you accept Christ. The church does not require that you simply focus on this few small subjects in life, but you bring a Christian worldview to economics and to workforce management and to business things. And there are plenty of solid biblical concepts to bring to the table in a discussion of economics in the business world, whether it's, you know, savings, whether it's a fair wage for a day's work, whether it's the concept of, you know, you don't work, you don't eat. And most importantly, I think it's important for members of the church, people in the church, to focus on commonalities and also to wake up and engage the culture. And that includes engaging the political culture. I don't happen to believe that we can affect major life-changing change through simple politics, but the church has to know the issues. They have to understand the issues. We have to stop stiff-arming culture and society and engage culture and society with a Christian worldview in order to have that transfer of thought, in order to have that influence mm-hmm. that we so desperately seek.
Mm. Robert, thanks very much for the call. You said a lot, and I appreciate you listening. Here's the number. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. I appreciate what he's saying there, understanding how the rules are crafted in our culture and in our country, understanding the needs and the inner workings of a small business and the needs of a small business owner. How many of us really know what goes on in the corner store? How many of us really know what's happening, how things are really going with the for-profit and non-profit, but for-profit businesses in our area? Chances are there are business owners in your own church. Have you stopped and asked them, hey, how's it going? What are the obstacles? What are the problems? What are your victories? What are your success stories? How can we bring about more success? That's probably a worthwhile question to ask, wouldn't you say? When we come back, some further thoughts on how the church can be a solution to our dilemma. We have this dilemma. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you in a few moments here about a guest that I think we'll probably have on our program coming up next weekend here on Austin Hills Big World of Small Business. Gentleman, a Christian guy who's written this great book about part-time jobs and the struggles people are having with their careers and their livelihoods. But I believe God can work through the church, we the people of his body, to make the difference. 877-933-2484 is our number. We'll continue in just moments. This is Austin Hills Big World of Small Business. I'm glad you're here. Don't go away.
Small business drives our economy, and that's why we're talking about it. This is Austin Hills Big World of Small Business. Want to talk about job creation? We're creating our own jobs right here. This is Austin Hills Big World of Small Business.
Thank you for being here and thank you for listening. I am in the house every weekend at this same time on this great radio stations, all the affiliates of the Faith Radio Network and several others as well. You can always find our archived program audio at myfaithradio.com. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Why so many part-time jobs and so few full-time jobs? Just a little heads up here before we get back to your calls. Coming up next week, and I'm almost 99% sure I can guarantee this for you. How's that? 99% certain that I'm guaranteeing this, right? I'm going to be doing a recorded interview, actually, earlier in the week, and then by next week, and I think we'll have it all ready to go here. But I'll be speaking to a gentleman. He's got a fascinating new book out on this topic. He is a Christian gentleman, a military veteran. He's got a new book out. It's called The Leap, Launching Your Full-Time Career in Our Part-Time Economy. The author's name is a gentleman named Robert Dickey, and a fascinating guy. I've had some interactions with him over the last several days via email, and as I said, we'll be in the studio recording with him, but he is onto this in a big, 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 big way. He points out in his book, and he cites input and expertise from other people around the country. He's saying, listen, we've got this confluence of this huge upheaval in our country, in our world, in our economy. Yes, it has to do with government regulation here in the United States, but it also has to do with the fact that it is a global economy, whether anybody likes it or not. Other countries around the world, like India, for example, like China, like Vietnam, for that matter, and certainly for the last half century or more, like the country of Japan, other parts of the world have adopted American-styled Western entrepreneurial and business and economic practices, and those other countries are doing better economically as a result of it. They create competition for the United States. So the same old, you know, grab onto a full-time job and stay there for many, many years and create a career with one company, that's long since gone. And he makes the point to say, hey, the part-time economy, going from gig to gig, freelancing, working here for a little bit and then working on a project over there for a little while, that's becoming the new norm. So hence the book, The Leap, Launching Your Full-Time Career in Our Part-Time Economy. Robert Dickey has some thoughts on how we can all do better to embrace the new reality, and he also has some thoughts on how churches can assist with that. So that's coming up next weekend here in our program. I hope you're here for it. But in just a moment, I want to get back to the phones, but in just a moment, I'll have my thoughts on how we can start, like maybe even this weekend, engendering a more productive, more helpful, and hopeful conversation about these issues in our church. Whatever church you go to, you talk to your pastor, you talk to other people in your church, let's get the conversation going, and then we can figure out some action steps, right? We'll get to that in just a moment. Back to the phones. It's 877-933-2484. Sally is up next. Sally, welcome. It's Austin Hills Big World of Small Business. Hello.
Hello. My answer is almost too simple. I don't think it's this simple, but I think the major reason that there are so many part-time employees is because the employers don't want to pay benefits that full-time employees expect and perhaps are mandated to pay. I think there's a few secondary reasons. I was trying to look at it from the employer's point of view. Let's just say McDonald's for saying something. A lot of young people, I'm sorry to say, just aren't that reliable, and so they would need a large pool of part-time employees to pull from so that they could actually have a worker at a designated spot. And then there's probably one other minor reason, too, is that there are some people that don't want to work that many hours. I know many of them personally.
You know people that don't want to work full-time? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Now, these are kids, you know, college kids, that they don't want to work full-time. They like the money, but they are interested in partying and having fun. They're largely living with their parents.
But there's also there's a huge dilemma with a lot of young adults, teens, 20-somethings. We can call them kids if you want to. But there's this huge dilemma of young adults, let's call them, who would like to work full-time. Some of them are college graduates, and they just can't get a foothold in the door anywhere.
Yeah, that is a super problem. And I think it goes back to my major understanding of them. My major reason is that the employers do not want to pay benefits.
Yeah, and that's the case. And Sally, thanks very much for the call. I would add to that that in some cases, employers simply can't afford the benefits, which gets back to a comment made by a previous caller from St. Paul, listening to us on Faith Radio 90.7 FM. She said, listen, we kind of have this mindset that the small business owner, the local store owner, just has unlimited financial resources. That is not the case. We live in a culture, in an economy, where many business owners are your neighbors, and they live a lot like you and me. But they have learned to manage finances and loans in some cases, investor capital. But they're taking enormous risks, mainly with themselves. They're taking enormous risks to produce something of value. And we need to be supportive of them rather than just assume that their resources are unlimited and assume the worst about them. Chad is up next in Boise, Idaho, listening to us on 94.1 FM KBXL. Chad, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Austin.
What do you think? Why so many part-time jobs, so few full-time jobs?
It's simply by design. The crash of 2006, 7, and 8 provided a perfect opportunity for an administration in this country to transition the economy from full-time positions with the full-time benefits to a position of part-time jobs and 2 and 3 part-time jobs to accommodate a normal family in Idaho.
Is that what's going on in your home state? People have to work 2 or 3 part-time jobs just to get by?
Well, I think that's nationally and in the state. It used to be that we used to produce lots of wood products out of our state, and we're pretty high on potatoes and
yep.
and beef and milk as well, and it just takes a lot more jobs part-time evidently just to avoid the use of all those full-time benefits.
Got it. What are you hopeful for? What changes can you make there in your home state? What can we do in our country to improve things?
Well, I think we all want prosperity, and prosperity obviously first comes with an understanding who your Lord and Savior is, and then after that, it's a matter of natural resources, capital, and labor. And I know with these part-time jobs out there right now, that means that there's a lot of possibilities with improving and going to more full-time jobs through prosperity, through production, using those tools that we have. And we do have in this state a lot of tools and products out there that we can bring to the market. We've got some high tech, which we hope to continue to improve on.
Sure.
Micron Technologies and Hewlett Packard. And we also need the middle class, the mom and pop small businesses, the single owner, senior citizen that's moved to Idaho that, you know, wants to continue doing what they were doing where they, you know, came from, whatever hobby they had. They'd like to continue to do that. But when the big guys push the little guys out, the little mom and pop businesses out, it's very difficult. So we just need to kind of get the government and the big business out of the way and utilize those natural resources and tools at our discretion and go to work and produce and get prosperity through him, our Savior, and those tools that he's given us. So there's a lot to be hopeful for here in Idaho, Austin. Mm.
Well, Dan, I would say that's probably true all over the country. Chad, thanks very much. Great to have you listening there in Boise, Idaho, 94.1 KBXL, The Voice. His point's very well taken. Just a few quick thoughts here on things that you and I can, start engaging in and start hoping and praying about and taking action with in our churches, like maybe this weekend. First of all, let's get honest and recognize there's a huge problem. There is a huge problem with the lack of full-time job creation universally around the country. Yes, there are some pockets where the economy is very robust and full-time job creation is going very, very well. And families and individuals and households and companies are prospering and churches are prospering as a result. But that's not uniformly the case around the country. More often than not, you have a lot of part-time hiring, very little full-time hiring. Let's get honest about that and start talking about that reality in our church and recognizing that it's a problem. I mean, coming out of denial is the first step, right? Secondly, I would suggest learning some very basic things about how economics works. I have co-authored a book along with a friend of mine who's a professor at Biola University in California. It's called The Virtues of Capitalism, A Moral Case for Free Markets. In that little book, there's an entire chapter there called The Bible on Economics. There is wisdom from both the Old and New Testament that we can apply to, believe it or not, our very sophisticated transnational high-tech economy today. So let's start learning some things about economics. And then let's recognize the world has changed. It is changing rapidly, even as we speak, and we need to be adaptable. And the people of God can prayerfully come together and make the difference. Reach me at austinsbigworld.com. That's our program website. I'll see you next weekend right here for Austin Hills Big World of Small Business. Have a great week ahead.